Good morning, and welcome to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry brought to you by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. The first broadcast of the Word of Grace took place on January 28, 1969, with the founding minister, the Reverend Donald Campbell. We are now entering into our 51st year. We are grateful to God for the comfort and inspiration which so many have received from the broadcast over the years. Financial support for our radio ministry comes from listeners throughout the Eastern Townships and beyond. We are grateful for the faithful support we have received. It is especially helpful to receive donations over the course of the year. Memorial donations given in memory of deceased relatives and friends may be made at any time. Our prayerful hope and expectation is that the broadcast will continue to be heard well into the future. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Remember also that you can access the program at any time on the website of CJMQ, www.cjmq.fm.
Good morning. My name is Nigel Parker, minister of St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church, which meets Sundays at 10:30 in the morning at 256 Rue Queen Street in Lennoxville, Sherbrooke. I'm just back from a trip out to Ontario on church business and rejoiced in all the marvellous fall colours I have seen along the way. I hope these too are rejoicing days for you as we tell out of God's faithfulness. In recent weeks, on these broadcasts, we have been following the songs that Israel would sing as they made their journeys, cross-country journeys, uphill journeys, to get to Jerusalem at festival time. Festivals like Harvest Thanksgiving. They sang songs to keep themselves going, the Psalms of the Ascents, pilgrim songs on the journey to the capital for holy gatherings. For us, these are songs of faith on the journey of life. And today, we're at Psalm 131, which is only three verses long. So here it is in full. Psalm 131. My heart is not proud, Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. But I have calmed and quietened myself. I am like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child, I am content. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, both now and for evermore.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me. You and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry. I watch them grow. They'll learn much more than I'll ever know. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. myself. What a wonderful world.
Let us pray. Holy God, in humble gratitude we come to worship you. You are our heart's desire and delight, and in quiet joy we come before your awesome presence as we offer our acts of praise, the confession of our sinfulness, and our acceptance of your merciful forgiveness. We will rest content with sincere gratitude to you, our God, assured that we are once again in a right relationship with you. Our inspirational God, each time we approach you, we are aware of the wonder and glory of your being, and we feel inadequate before such splendor and majesty. And yet you welcome us, as if we were little children, there to receive a parent's warm embrace. How reassuring that is, and we give thanks to you, our God, trusting in your generous and dependable love and care, a love and care vouchsafed to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. How blessed we are. We confess that we do not follow Jesus in all that we do. We love with condition. We judge and condemn. We cast the first stone and keep the logs in our own eyes. We do not turn to you as the source of our healing. Forgive us, we pray. Forgive our sin and empower us to be imitators of Christ in love and service. Friends in Christ, know this. The mercy of God is from everlasting to everlasting, and I remind you of this surpassing grace in Jesus Christ. By his life, death, resurrection, and ascension, we are forgiven. We are reconciled to God. Alleluia. Amen. A brief reading from Philippians chapter 4. Reading at verse 8. The Apostle Paul writes, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learnt the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Amen."
There's a light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. His word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will
eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's a light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
I am grateful that as a minister in the Presbyterian Church in Canada, I have an allowance of time and money for study leave. I've used my time to do various things, to improve my French, to do some compulsory and also additional studies out of the Vancouver School of Theology to transfer into the Presbyterian Church in Canada. And I've added all these credits together, and this year I'm completing a Bachelor of Arts degree with a final course in Religious Studies with the Open University in the United Kingdom. As part of those religious studies, I've been learning about pilgrimage in different religious traditions. Hindu pilgrimage is rooted in their ancient writings, and according to textual scholars, the earliest reference to Hindu pilgrimage is in the Rig Veda, about 1500 years before the birth of Christ, in which the wanderer is praised. And then there are later texts which elaborate on the capacities of particular sacred sites to grant boons, such as health and wealth and progeny and deliverance after death. And texts enjoin Hindu pilgrims to perform rites on behalf of ancestors and recently deceased kin. Sanskrit sources praise certain places and their miraculous capacities. And so there's one pilgrim path that moves from the very southern tip of India to the north of India, to the headwaters of the Ganges River, and there is a merit in its completion. We may be more familiar with the Hajj in Islam, the pilgrimage to their holy city of Mecca in Saudi Arabia, which every adult Muslim must make if they are able, at least once in his or her lifetime. And the Hajj is the fifth of the fundamental Muslim practices and institutions known as the five pillars of Islam. But in Christian tradition, particularly the Catholic strand, there are pilgrimages that lead some to Rome, some to Jerusalem, some to Santiago de Compostela, indeed to our own pilgrimage place in the shrine of St. Anne de Beaupré, here in Quebec in Canada. Psalm 131 is the latest in our series of pilgrim songs from the Book of the Psalms. The Hebrew Bible instructs all Jews to make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem three times a year, in the spring for Passover, in the summer, and in the fall. As they went, they would have sung songs as they climbed the mountain passes to Jerusalem, the songs of the ascents, the psalms that we find in Psalm 120 to 134. Now, this is not some Protestant rant about self-serving externals. After all, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for the festivals. Jesus sang these songs and knew these words. If I were to ask the point of the pilgrimages, there would be a multitude of answers. To achieve blessings, to fulfill vows, to complete commandments, to increase devotion, to exhibit faith, to develop discipline, to share fellowship. But what's the point of the journey? Is it simply to arrive, to clock up the kilometres, tick off the duties, fulfil the rites? If so, then I, for one, would be a terrible pilgrim, for there would be a part of me that would be so triumphalist. Look at me, I've made it. Aren't I so good, so holy, so righteous? I've made the journey. And that would be so against the spirit of Psalm 131. Psalm 131 teaches us that the arrival is not marked by a sense of personal achievement or catching up on bonus points, nor even at arriving at a geographical point after a difficult journey. But rather, the arrival that matters is arriving in the heart of God, being found and finding oneself, resting in the love of God. Psalm 131 says, "My heart is not proud, Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with matters or things too wonderful for me. But I have calmed and quietened myself. I am like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child, I am content." Psalm 131 is only three verses, but each verse has a simple and clear instruction for us to follow. And the first is, practice humility. Practice humility. Some people say that you can't speak about your humility, that the moment you do, you're being proud again. But it depends on who you're speaking to and your attitude when you speak. David, the psalmist here, is not boasting about his humility to others, but rather he's acknowledging his humility before God. And the whole psalm speaks of a sweet, gentle humility before the Lord. David is not boasting, but he is actually humbling himself before God even as he speaks. He begins by praying, "O Lord." Those words come first in the Hebrew, and that's important. He begins by addressing his God, his Lord, his Master. The first word on his lips in this psalm is his God. Humility begins with a focus on the Lord, and everything that follows takes place within the context of that single cry, "O Lord." The second thing we learn is learn contentment. This weaned child is a picture of contentment. The unweaned child is frantically rooting around for the breast and craves milk for its stomach. The weaned child is simply enjoying the way it feels to be in the lap and upon the bosom of his mother. They are satisfied. And it's not about their stomach, it's about their heart. And that is a picture of David's restfulness, contentment, satisfaction, joy, peace in the secure, loving presence of God. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Philippians from a jail cell, yet he had learnt the same lesson of contentment. "I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learnt the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength." We have practice humility, learn contentment. Thirdly is to live in hope. Live in hope. How do we do that? All it says is his soul is calmed and quieted, like a child with its mother. How do we know that he's referring to contentment in God? We know it because of verse 3. "O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and evermore." And it would be unreasonable to think that there's no connection between verse 2 and verse 3. And if verse 2 has nothing to do with God, why summon the people to hope in God, or as the word is often translated, wait for God? But there is a connection. "Since," says David, "I have found my contentment, my calm, my quiet soul satisfaction by turning to the Lord and resting in his power and grace and wisdom. Therefore I now call all Israel, join me in this. Put your hope in him. Find your rest in him. Calm your troubled heart in his presence. Quiet your soul by resting in the promise of his loving presence." Jeremiah Burroughs, a 16th century Puritan writer, wrote a book called The Rare Jewel of Christian Contentment. And he compares the contentment that comes from circumstances to the warming of your clothes by the fire. To be content as a result of some external thing is like warming a man's clothes by the fire. But to be content through an inward disposition of the soul is like the warmth that a man's clothes have from the natural heat of his body. A man who is healthy in body puts on his clothes, and perhaps at first on a cold morning they feel cold. But after he has had them on a little while, they are warm. Now, how did they get warm? They were not near the fire. No, this came from the natural heat of his body. Now, when a sickly man, the natural heat whose body has deteriorated, puts on his clothes, they do not get hot for a long time. He must warm them by the fire, and even then they will soon be cold again. Psalm 131 is about a contentment, or stillness, or quietness of soul. This is rooted not in external circumstances, but on an internal relationship with God, a warmth that derives itself from its peace and reconciliation with the God who loved us enough to give us Jesus to reconcile us to God, a God who never changes in his utter commitment to us in Jesus Christ. Let us again turn to God in prayer, following a prayer for contentment. O Lord, you are my shepherd, and I should not be in want. But so often I struggle to be content and do want, forgetting that you have already graciously provided me with every spiritual blessing in Christ and everything I need for life and godliness. Thank you for often not giving me what I want, because my desires would draw my heart from being satisfied in you. Help me to be content in you with what you have given me, and to not be focused on what my flesh wants or the world tells me I should have. Protect me from coveting possessions or people, talent or influence, relationships or prestige. Keep my heart from being anxious for what I don't have, and make me thankful for the numerous gifts that you have already given. According to your word and steadfast love, fill me with the joy and satisfaction of contentment in Christ. Help me learn to be content in any situation like Paul, and to quickly reject the idolatry that dwells beneath the surface of my coveting. In the season of All Saints, All Hallows, we offer the following prayer. We give you thanks, O God, for all the saints who ever worshipped you, where your name was lifted and adored. We give you thanks, O God, for hands lifted in praise. We thank you, God, for hard-working saints, whether hard-hatted or steel-booted, head-ragged or aproned, blue-collared or three-piece suited. They left their mark on the earth for you, for us, for our children to come. thank you, God, for the tremendous sacrifices made by those who have gone before us. Bless the memories of your saints, Lord. May we learn to walk wisely from their examples of faith, dedication, worship, and love. And now we offer the prayer Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory for ever and ever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen.
You've been listening to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry brought to you each Sunday at this time by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. Our church is located on Queen Street in Lennoxville. We have a strong tradition of service in this area. We continue to work for the advancement of Christ's kingdom We honor the past and welcome the future by being faithful in the present. I encourage you to worship in a church of your choice, a place where you can grow in your faith and actively serve in the cause of Christ. Our prayer is that each church in our community will be blessed as we are faithful to God. Please consider supporting our broadcast with a financial donation. We rely upon your support. Tax receipts are issued for contributions. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec. The postal code is J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Bye for now. Thanks for listening, and may God's blessing be with each one of us.